As I said earlier, there's over 100 prophecies in the Old Testament. Now think about that. Over 100 prophecies about the Jewish Messiah who was to come in the Old Testament.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of Truth or Coincidence, Jesus is the Messiah who was prophesied in the Old Testament, from our series, Everybody Ought to Know Who Jesus Is. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Truth or Coincidence, Jesus is the Messiah who was prophesied in the Old Testament.
We started last week talking about the misunderstood Christ. And really, it's a part of the series that we have been doing since the beginning of the fall, as we've been talking about everybody ought to know who Jesus is. And today, we want to talk about Jesus as the Messiah. That is very easy for us to forget about this aspect of who Christ is. And so sometimes he can be misunderstood. And as we've been doing each week, one of the things that I've been pointing out is how Jesus has been misunderstood. And this week, and this will not be in your notes, so as we come, I believe I have this up on the screen, and we're going to talk about truth or coincidence, that there are over 100 prophecies about the Messiah in the Old Testament. And we want to look and see, as Christ fulfilled those prophecies, was that truth? Was he truly the Messiah? Or was it just a coincidence? Did Jesus just coincidentally, by accident, on chance, just fulfill these prophecies, or was Jesus truly the Messiah? Messianic prophecy. The word Messiah actually means anointed one. There are many prophecies about the Jewish Messiah. As I said earlier, there's over 100 prophecies in the Old Testament. Now think about that. Over 100 prophecies about the Jewish Messiah who was to come in the Old Testament. And a lot of people are confused as to who the Messiah is. There are people who were of the Israelite persuasion, and they say that the nation or the Messiah is the nation of Israel. They will point to passages like Isaiah 53, where we read about the suffering servant, where it says, "Who hath believed our report, and to who is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him like a tender plant and like a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our grief and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all." And so people look at passages like that, and they say that that messianic passage is talking about the nation of Israel and how that they went through a period and how they went through a time of suffering. Others will say that it's a Messiah who one day is going to come back and set up a kingdom, and that he's going to rule in power and authority. As a matter of fact, this mindset was so prevalent, you remember that in Acts chapter 1, before Jesus went back to heaven, his disciples asked one question: "Will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And so the disciples had in their mind a Messiah who would come in and take over and take charge. And so there's a lot of misunderstanding about who this Messiah is. And so this morning, as Christians, we want to set the record straight. And I think that maybe one reason that people really miss who the Messiah was, because they were looking for the Messiah to come in pomp and circumstance. They were looking for the Messiah to come as a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when Jesus showed up on the scene as a lowly servant, as he showed up, as we sang the song just a moment ago, in Bethlehem's manger, it kind of threw people off. That this is not what we expected. All those scriptures that we saw in the Old Testament about this Messiah, this was not what we bargained for. And, you know, I was thinking, what if Hollywood could have wrote the script about Jesus? What would they have done? If Hollywood would have wrote the script, he would have been born in a palace instead of a manger. If Hollywood would have wrote the script, his birth would have been broadcast to the whole world instead of a few lowly shepherds. If Hollywood could have wrote the script, he would have ministered in big cities instead of small towns. If Hollywood would have wrote the script, they would have publicized his miracles instead of what Jesus said when he healed somebody, go and tell nobody else. If Hollywood wrote the script, they would have had Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a stallion and not on a donkey. If Hollywood would have wrote the script, he would have lived riding off into the sunset instead of dying on a cross. And so we see that Jesus was not who people expected him to be, and he threw him for a loop. And so as we look at messianic prophecy, let's understand who is the fulfillment of messianic prophecy. The fact of messianic prophecy, we see that there are over 100 prophecies in reference to a Jewish Messiah, a Messiah who is to come. Lee Strobel has written a book called Case for Christ. I would recommend that book to everybody, and in it, he has a section on messianic prophecy. And this is what Lee Strobel says about these prophecies in the Old Testament. He says, there are several dozen major prophecies about the coming Messiah who would be sent to redeem God's people. In effect, these predictions form a figurative fingerprint that only the anointed one would be able to match. This way, the Israelites could rule out any imposters that tried to come and claim that they were the Messiah. And believe me, there were many people during the time of Christ. If you go back and read history, you will find out that there were many people that came during the time of Christ proclaiming what? They were proclaiming that they were the Messiah. They were telling the people that they were the Messiah. And I'm going to show you some things this morning that's absolutely going to blow your mind and show you how that Jesus was the only one who could be identified as the Messiah. Who is the person of the Messiah? The person of the Messiah is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And like I said, there are a lot of people that don't understand that truth, a lot of people that miss that truth. But hopefully we won't miss it, and we'll understand what the scripture says about Jesus. Turn to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17 as we consider this whole idea of messianic prophecy. Now again, keep in mind the larger context of our series. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. And we are talking about the misunderstood Jesus and how that people didn't understand who he was. And Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, Jesus says this: think not that I am come to destroy the law and the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Now, what was the law? The law was the first five books of the Bible. What were the prophets? The prophets were Isaiah through Malachi. And so as we read through the Old Testament, we see that they prophesied about a Messiah. Jesus said that I didn't come to destroy what they said. I didn't come to do away with what they said. He said, I am the fulfillment of what they said. I am the Messiah. Jesus was making the proclamation that he was the Messiah. And not only did he make the proclamation, but he backed it up by doing miracles and then when he rose from the dead. But perhaps one of my favorite, now my favorite verse in the Bible is Psalm 1, 1 through 3, or my favorite verses, Psalm 1, 1 through 3. But my favorite story in the Bible is in Luke 24. I love this story in Luke 24. If you'll turn there, I'd like to share it with you. In Luke 24, Jesus has just been crucified. And his disciples are concerned because he's dead. They had followed him for 3 years, and now he's gone. He's no longer around to provide fish sandwiches for folks. He's not around to do great and mighty miracles anymore. So his disciples have some concern, and they begin to walk with their heads down on. And they're on this road called the Road to Emmaus. And as they are on this road to Emmaus, Jesus comes alongside of them. But they don't know it's Jesus. Somehow they had their eyes covered in a way that they didn't understand that it was Jesus who was walking beside them. And so Jesus comes alongside, and they're concerned about what's going to happen to them now. And he says, in verse 26, he says, ought not Christ to have suffered these things? It wasn't that written that the Christ, that the Messiah would die and then enter into his glory? Then look at verse 27. I love it. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them. So what is he doing? He's going back to the Old Testament, right? Now, you know what I call this? A Bible study from the master. The Bible said Jesus went all the way back to the Old Testament, all the way back to the book of Genesis, and he began to teach them. And in the upcoming weeks, we're going to look. Next week is going to be a powerful sermon. You don't want to miss next week as we talk about he is the fulfillment of the types. And so Jesus went all the way back in the Old Testament, and he began to expound these things. And it says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures. Look at this. The things concerning himself.
Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze coming to you with a special announcement. We are going to have Walk Through the Bible, New Testament, here at Bethany Baptist Church on April 4th, 2020, from 9 a.m. to 12 noon. Come join us as we walk through the New Testament in a fun, packed, interactive way. For more details or to register, call 412-242-3255.
What was Jesus saying? Jesus was saying that all that stuff you read in the Old Testament pointed to me. It was all talking about me, that I am the Messiah. And then I love verse 32. Jesus, he sits down with them, has a meal, and then he leaves, and the scripture says in verse 32, and they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us along the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? That when we studied with Jesus, man, our hearts were burning. We were crying out for more. Give me more knowledge. Let me know more about this Messiah. And that should be our heart's cry. We sang the song a couple weeks ago, more about Jesus. More about Jesus, what I know. More of his saving fullness know. That should be our desire. They said, did not our hearts burn within us as we talked with him along the way? Man, just think what it must have been like to sit under the greatest teacher who ever lived. No one could come close in comparison to teaching like Jesus taught. And he taught them about all these things in the Old Testament and said that all these things pointed to me. Messianic prophecy. What is the importance of messianic prophecy? Somebody will say, well, why does that mean anything? Why should we study messianic prophecy? And let me give you three things and three reasons why messianic prophecy is important. Number one, messianic prophecy demonstrates that there is a divine mind behind the authorship of the Old and the New Testament. When you have prophecies that were written hundreds and some even thousands of years before they actually took place, and then you move into the New Testament and you see the fulfillment of these things, that shows you one thing and one thing alone, that there is a divine mind behind the Old and the New Testament. The very first prophecy that we see is in the book of Genesis, chapter 3. After Adam and Eve fell, God said that he was going to send his son to be born of a woman, and that this son that he would send. Now look, Genesis, you know, Moses, he probably wrote the book of Genesis back in 1300 BC, all right? Jesus came a little after the turn of the clock going into AD. You're looking at 1,500 years before Jesus shows up on the scene that the scripture prophesied that God would send his son, and watch this, it not only says that he was sending, but with accuracy, it predicted the fact that he would die on a cross, that he would be crucified, and that he would rise again. It said in there that the serpent would bruise the heel of Jesus. Well, what did that mean? That meant that he would have Jesus put to death, but then Jesus would do what? Jesus would crush his head. And when did Jesus crush the head of Satan? When he rose from the grave. And so we see way back in Genesis chapter 3, verse, I believe it's 15 or 16, where he talks about a coming Messiah. And Jesus came according as the scripture said. And when you look at that, you have to say that, man, there's something about this book. There's something about a book that can tell what happened in the future. As a matter of fact, this book is so accurate in some places that people say that it's written from a historical perspective because it's so accurate. You know the poem I like to recite. The Bible must have been inspired of God and not of men. I would not if I could believe a good man wrote it to deceive, and a bad man would not if he could proceed to write a book so good. So it must be that God inspired words that souls of prophets fired. This is a God-ordained book. Any book that can give you hundreds of prophecies in one that was written a long time ago, and we can see them fulfilled in Christ. This a divine mind behind this great book. The second thing that we see about messianic prophecy is that it confirms the deity of Jesus Christ. How many books do you know that predicted that somebody would be born of a virgin and then the person be born of a virgin? How many books do you know that predicted a man would rise from the dead and that man rise from the dead? And so this lets us know that Jesus Christ is God, despite the fact of what some religions will tell us, that he is a God. We looked at last week the Jehovah's Witnesses, and they go even as far as trying to manipulate the scripture and say that Jesus was a God. But we read last week that Jesus is God. And so when we think about messianic prophecy, and only God could fulfill messianic prophecy, that Jesus Christ is God. The third thing that we see is that messianic prophecy inspires worship in a great God who can record events in the present and make them come to pass in the future. Man, I tell you what, that should, you know, like the song we sang this morning, fall on your knees. Like when they saw the wise men came, the magi came, and they saw the child, and they fell down and they worshiped him. And so that should be what, when we think about messianic prophecy, when we think about the fact that Jesus is the fulfillment of hundreds, well, I'm going to say over 100 prophecies in the Old Testament, we should bow down and worship God. We should say, God, you are an awesome God. God, you are powerful. God, you deserve all the praise. You deserve all the honor, and you deserve all the glory. Any God that can write something down and then make it come to pass, he deserves to be worshiped. So what is the importance of messianic prophecy? It shows us that a divine mind is behind the Old and New Testaments. It shows us and confirms the fact that Jesus Christ is God. And then it should cause us to fall on our face and worship him. We see what are some prophecies. And I tried to be Christmassy. So this first chart that I put up was really, or this first slide that I put up here, well, actually, you put the second one up. All right, that was the first one I did right there, because that's in a book that I'm writing. And what I wanted to do was show these are 10 notable prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. All right, so I put these 10 right here. But let me draw your attention specifically to the next to the last one, where it says that he would be ridiculed and suffer a brutal death. That was prophesied in Isaiah 53, and then that was fulfilled in Matthew 27, verses 27 through 50. And then in Psalm 16, 10, it said that he would rise from the dead, and that was fulfilled in Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10. But I wanted to be Christmassy, right? So I said, well, let me just pick the ones that refer to the birth of Christ, or that center around the birth of Christ. So that is why I developed this next chart. If you'll put that next one up. Might be kind of hard to see, but we'll work through it. The first thing that it said is that the Messiah would be born of a woman, that he would come through the seed of the woman. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, we've already talked about that. And then we see the fulfillment in Matthew chapter 1 and Galatians 4. Now, here goes an unbelievable prophecy right here. In Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, it said that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. It says by name where he's going to be born. Now, unless, you know, we grow up in a city where our family traditionally has grown up, you know, the chances are that we can say, well, you know, I believe that this child will be born in Pittsburgh. But, you know, we can't say that with absolute certainty because we never know. You know, a person might go into the military, something might happen. But here, this prophecy is so specific that it names the exact city where the Messiah would be born, in Bethlehem. Now, you know the thing that blows your mind? Is that his mother and father didn't even live in Bethlehem. They lived in Nazareth. So it seems like the scripture should have said that he would be born in Nazareth. But it said that he would be born in Bethlehem, the power of the Word of God. It says that he would be born of a virgin, Isaiah 7, 14. How many people would actually have the audacity, have the gall to say that somebody would be born of a virgin? You've got to be an absolute fool to make a statement like that.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Truth or Coincidence. Jesus is the Messiah who was prophesied in the Old Testament. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Truth or Coincidence, Jesus is the Messiah who was prophesied in the Old Testament, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Truth or Coincidence, Jesus is the Messiah who was prophesied in the Old Testament. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Truth or Coincidence. Jesus is the Messiah who was prophesied in the Old Testament. Or call us at 877 831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.